When anyone receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages in your Bible, in sequence, in order that you may be able to make a choice for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number one in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in the series in numerical order, so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of this series, or to the tapes out of sequence, can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of the series.
Now, we were looking at the law and grace. Now, we saw that that the law is wrath to the lawbreakers. We also see that Jesus came to fulfill the law in Matthew 5:17. We saw that we are to be a doer of the law. How are we a doer of the law? Because we'll be led by the Spirit of God, and we won't be following the flesh that's hostile to God and breaks the law. So then if we're led by the Spirit of God, we're no longer under the law. Now, all I've said is Scripture and love right there so far. Now, we look before it. We looked at 1 Timothy, that one, that the law wasn't for a righteous man, but the law, now listen to me, this law, a righteous man, the law is not to a righteous man, because the righteous man is not breaking the law. Amen? But the law is to the lawless. The law is to the ungodly. And the law, as we saw in 1 Timothy 1:10-11, we saw that the law stands against everyone who teaches strange doctrines that's contrary to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Amen? I mean, that law stands against it, and a judgment and a wrath of God stands against anything that's contrary or distorts or adds to or takes away the Word of God. Amen? We also, in that 1 Timothy 1:10, we saw that the problem was the men were teaching strange doctrines, and they were in mere speculation rather than furthering the ministration of God, which is walking by faith. And what Paul right here is saying is that the goal of this gospel is to have love from a pure heart, and strange doctrines, and these doctrines that promote ungodliness and unrighteousness and rebellion and sin and unholiness are totally contrary to the law of God, and the wrath of God stands against them. Amen? So he said, now that the goal, now listen, this is the goal of the instruction of the gospel, now listen very carefully, is love from a pure heart. That's being a mature man. That's when you love your neighbor as yourself. Pure means it's not mixed. Amen? I mean, it's not got two kind of seed in it, on it. And so then, the result of that, you'll have a good conscience, a sincere faith, because some men, it's warning about these strange doctrines, are straying away from these things because they've turned aside to fruitless discussion. And we see it all over the world today that people analyze the Word of God rather than walk in covenant. Amen? So they want to be teachers of the law, even though they don't understand, and you can't have them understand if you have a veil in front of your face. Because this Word all comes by revelation. A natural mind understands not the Word of God. And we know the law is good if it's used lawfully. Well, how's the law used lawfully? Well, you walk in covenant. The law does not perfect righteousness. All righteousness only comes through making Jesus Christ Lord, which is faith, and being led by the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God leads you to put to death all rebellion, which therefore, when your heart is washed and clean, you have a pure heart. That's the goal of the instruction of the gospel, and therefore you fulfill the law, and that's how you use the law lawfully. Amen? I mean, it stands there as a standard and wrath against everybody that walks in rebellion to God. We also saw in 1 Timothy 6, 3 and 4, that if anyone comes and teaches another doctrine, which we see plenty of them, carnal doctrines, that permits you and tells you that you can walk in rebellion to God and be a lawbreaker, if this doctrine, a different doctrine, does not conform you to godliness, this love from a pure heart, they are without understanding. They are deprived of the truth. They have a veil, and they have a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, because that's what they'll always tack the word with. Carnal doctrines hasn't changed, the devil hasn't changed, and people haven't changed. It's just like the Pharisees. You can see the perfect example. They'll pick out whatever, they'll look for whatever they can find, the weakest spot, like they always question Jesus closely about many subjects, in order they might find something that they might accuse him of. That's like I say, even these tapes right here would do. People would look through, they wouldn't be listening for truth, because they don't have an ear for the truth, because they've already arrived. They found their security in a strange, ungodly doctrine, so they would listen to a tape like tonight, and it would, their ear would only pick up, because they're controlled by different spirits, pick up what they could attack with controversial questions and dispute about words. In Galatians, that they were, some people were started out in the spirit, and then they were going to be perfected in the flesh, because they were getting tied to doctrines that were, they were deserting Jesus for a different doctrine. It's the gospel of Christ that had been distorted, a gospel contrary, and people who walk after these are cursed. And Paul said, I'm not getting get this gospel from men. I'm not preaching it to please men, and I'm not preaching it to please flesh, and I'm not changing the word of God to please any flesh. Amen? Because that's where the wrath of God, in 1 Timothy 1 we saw, stands against anyone that wants to distort or change or add to the doctrine, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he went ahead and said, since you're trying to be perfected in the flesh, said, I want to ask you, is Christ the minister of this sin that's in you? In verse 17, 2:17, is he the minister? He will go ahead to say, if you're going to rebuild what you're supposed to have destroyed, you're still a transgressor. You're finding the security in the doctrine. You're not finding in Jesus that you can walk in rebellion to the law of God, because you're under the works of the law, and you're under a curse, because you're not being led by the Spirit of God to be perfected as the flesh. Amen? Now, what do you think anyone who gathers around carnal doctrines will produce? Will they produce righteous? Will they produce faith? Will they produce a holy people and a blameless people? They absolutely will not. They'll produce harlots. They'll produce adulteries, which we saw clearly in the first few verses of Romans 7. They're trying to be married to the old man and trying to be married to Jesus too. They're trying to walk both ways. Just like James 1 said, they're double-minded, speaking blessings and curses, and said, you are adulteresses. And this kind of wisdom is not from God. It's the world flesh, and it's demonic. And that's what you're supposed to repent it from to begin with. But this is what the carnal doctrines, and that's the church of Babylon in the last days. It's a dwelling place of demons, because that's how the demons come in, because they're given permission, because it's doctrines of demons. Let me say it one more time. It's doctrines of demons, because it goes back to Genesis 1, the same thing, when Satan, God told Adam, said, when you eat off of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you have good and evil. This tree of death, this tree of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, when you eat off of this, you shall surely die. Satan comes along to Miss Eve, and he said, Miss Eve, you come over here and eat off this tree of death. You come over here and eat off of this tree of death, this lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. You can receive this rebellion, and you surely shall not die. That was the doctrines of demons then. That's the doctrines of demons today. You can practice rebellion to God. You can shake your fist in God's face, and you surely shall not die. That's how you received the curse in the first thing, because your ancestor Adam partook also, so Eve gave to him, and he ate also. And this is how the curse came on in the first place. The last Adam came here to redeem you from that curse. And now the grace is perverted and love is perverted, because people walk in pride and selfishness and all the works of the flesh, and say that that's the Spirit of the Lord. It doesn't produce the Spirit of the Lord. The doctrines don't. It doesn't produce holiness and righteousness. Now, turn with me to Hebrews 6. We're going to read quick tonight, okay? Now, I want you to see something. Have we found out that we are Jews? All right, we certainly did in Romans 2. Now, have we found out that if Jesus Christ is your Lord, that you're descendants of Abraham, we're Abraham's sons? Did we find out if you're a new creation, which is the body of Christ, that you're the Israel of God? All right, now, when he makes references to Jerusalem, are we supposed to be in the heavenly Jerusalem? There is a flesh Jerusalem in this world, isn't there? We are in the heavenly Jerusalem, as Jesus Christ your Lord. Is that correct? Now, just quickly, in Hebrews 6, verse 6. And now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant. That's the covenant we are in right now, which has been acted on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, days are coming. Now, watch very closely what I'm going to read. I'm going to effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, folks, can I tell you, that's just, when you're talking about the house of Israel, when you're talking about the house of Judah, are you seeing what I'm saying? That's a type for us. Amen? You don't have to scream at me. Well, I turned the right page, but it's Hebrews 8. I thought everybody knew where that was. Why you always have to lag behind? You let me read half a chapter and don't say nothing. So we know we got a better ministry and better promises in verse 6. We know in verse 7, if the first covenant had been faultless, we wouldn't have needed for a second one. And verse 8, for finding fault with the first covenant, behold, days are coming, I'm going to effect a new covenant. That's the covenant we're in today with who? This new covenant is being effected with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So when you're making reference to Israel out there, God's had Israel, and that's the descendants through Abraham. Amen? And ever since there's been Israel, there's been a land to possess. You've got one today to possess. And that's why you needed weapons. That's why it said you tear down strongholds. So, we see verse 10, and this is the covenant that I'm going to make with the house of Israel life those days, said the Lord. I'm going to put my law into their minds, and I'm going to write it into their hearts. Amen? So now we see that this covenant, I want you to just see, when I go back and I read, it uses Scripture in the New Testament, and in the Old Testament, it shows you what's happening. It describes it to you. So, the new was written out of the old. And the whole Bible is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Now, I'm not going to read all these scripture, but I'm just going to tell you in Revelation 17 that we're talking about the judgment of the great harlot. Now, let me just tell you who that harlot is. That harlot is Babylon. In the first verse. Now we read verse, you know where immorality leads you to. And those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. Now wine is what you drink, isn't that right? That's what she teaches. The harlot, now look at me folks. Now just stop. Let's just don't go too fast right here. Look here. When the cup, the gold cup that Babylon's supposed to have, that's that whore harlot church, and you come and drink, in other words, what you take to heart is immorality, impurity, ungodly, carnal, rebellion, law-breaking doctrines. Amen? So you drink this wine, this teaching, you take it to heart. And what happens when you do it? You become drunk. You stagger and stumble. Why are you staggering and stumbling? You're a lawbreaker, and you're being destroyed. And the law comes against all distorted and ungodly doctrine. And this is what Babylon teaches, and what she produces is harlots, people that love the world. They don't come with him all their heart. Therefore, since they found another security, their hearts cannot be washed by the Word of God to have a pure heart. Amen? So, they're made drunk with the wine of her immorality. Now remember, when it talks about you stumbling or staggering, That means you can't find a way. When somebody's stumbling, you can't find the way. And that's what happens when you're drinking poison water, when you're drinking poison, false teaching. You can't find the way. Okay. And then verse 4, and the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and the pearls having in her hand. Now there is a gold cup. This gold cup at this church of Babylon is full of abominations. It's abominations to God. And it's unclean things of her immorality, and that's what the people drink. And that's what they take apart. That's what they take to heart. Now verse 5, and upon her forehead of Babylon, a name was written, a mystery. And here's what's on the forehead. Now, let me just stop and say it. If Jesus Christ is our Lord, what kind of mind are we supposed to have? The mind of Christ. What's the opposite of a mind of Christ? The mind of a harlot. You know the beast is Satan? You know that, don't you? The powers of darkness are beasts. Why now, I want you to stop and think about something. No, look at it. So everything Jesus has... You could have the mark of the Lord would be his people are going to have the mind of Christ. Is that right? Now, Babylon's going to have something on her forehead. She's going to have a harlot's forehead. She's going to have the mind of a harlot. And you know something? She is the image of the beast. Why? Because she walks, talks, and produces the fruit of the beast. All right, now, what is the image of the beast? The image of the beast is something that produces and causes you to be like the beast. What would that be? Ungodly doctrines. Ungodly doctrines would cause you, when you receive these abominations and take them to heart, when you bow down there to these calves, right? I mean, you take it to heart. You bow. Did in the wilderness? Did they bow down to a gold calf? Well, you're bowing to the beast today. It's a gold calf today, and you bow to it. All right, now look here. When you take this thing to heart, and you don't produce love from a pure heart, what do you produce? The fruit of Satan, isn't that right? The fruit of the flesh. And that way, now listen to you, there's a beast that come up out of the earth. That's Babylon. She looks like a lamb, but she speaks like a dragon flesh. Are you hearing me? And so when you bow, when you make an image, and you get all your musical instruments now and then play, and every time the music is in the place, just start bowing. If you don't bow, you get thrown in the furnace. Persecution. Bow, and you won't have no problems in the flesh. Be at ease and Zion. Amen. Let your heart get tested. Get that other Jesus, and you'll never have no problems in the flesh while he killed you. Because you're not bearing fruit for the Lord. See, that's the wrath of God. You've been destroyed. You've been cut down right there. God's not mocked, is he, folks? All right, now, verse 5. And upon her forehead, a name was written, a mystery. Babylon the Great. She's the mother of harlots. Now, are we supposed to be the bride of Christ? Well, would a bride be the mother? That's a church of harlots, what it's talking about. It's a church that produces harlots. Babylon is a church that gives birth to harlots. Doesn't there have to be a husband? There has to be a bride, right? There has to be a husband. There has to be a mother. Jesus married the church. This church is married to Satan. And it produces the fruit of it. And it's a mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Turn to Revelation 18. So, let me ask you something. Look at me. Do the powers of darkness, do the demon spirits, do they come to minister to you? The only ministry they have to you is what your flesh. The nature of demons and Satan is already in the person's flesh before he comes to Jesus. Is that right? and it's hostile to God, and it does not subject itself to the law of God, right? All right, then, the purpose of coming to Jesus, you put all this to death so you have a pure heart and won't walk in selfishness, but walk in love, which fulfills the law, right? All right, now these powers of darkness, they come to test you. And everything that the flesh is, the flesh loves them because they always tell every person how to take advantage. While Jesus, the Spirit of God, tells you always to let the other person have advantage. You become a slave and a servant. Love is a slave. It costs you something to love. So then your mind changes from your mind being on self, I mean my self-worship and self-love, until your mind turns to giving and loving. And that's the mind of Christ. Amen? And that's how God made us to do. So all the powers of darkness, the demon spirits, their ministry is anger, hate, unforgiveness, murder, pride, bitterness, resentment, jealousy, envy, greed, love of money, world, things, men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's their ministry. Now they speak to you in your mind. And this is where they have the world, and the world produces what the powers of darkness put in their mind. They have bestseller books of success, power, control, beauty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All I mean, man. And see, when your heart's drawn to these things, that is the lust of the flesh. Anything that draws your heart away from God is lust. It's lusting after something else, see? And so when something else got your heart, you'll never turn to God, and that's how they destroy you. They have a right to because you're a lawbreaker. Are you hearing me? And the more you break it, they start building fortresses in you, and the more they break it, the more that come on you. Now, may I tell you something else? You think that curse mad at Adam, would you call that ancestral curse? Can I tell you something? You get them off the other ancestors, too. They come off, the nucleus of the fathers of the third and fourth generation come on the children who hate me. Who is the one to hate the Lord? The ones that don't love him and do his word. If your father did not love the Lord and do his word, then I want you to know their curses and sins came upon you. Now you'll have somebody over here in Babylon say, oh, that's ridiculous, that's an old... Well, hey, folks, they don't cast out demons over there. They don't get free, and they'll never be free in Babylon because they don't purify themselves. And you can't deal with it with a doctrine. You can never get rid of demons with these kind of doctrines because you never purify your heart. And when you would ever purify your heart, you're never free of the powers of darkness. Can I tell you? Because you can't possess, that's what you're supposed to possess the land from, them. Amen? And you can only do that by overcoming the flesh, putting it to death. Kind of interesting how God worked that out. Check your heart out, isn't it? So, if you speak to them, I mean, if they speak to you and your heart's in agreement, they live with you. And they're cutting you down. So that's the reason in Revelation 18:2, and he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, fallen, fallen, they're fallen away. It's Babylon the Great. She's become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of ever unclean spirit. We look there, verse 3, for all the nations have drunk of the wine. There it is. Of the passion. Now here's what's in that gold cup. This is what these doctrines are. Passion of her immorality, and the kings of earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the businessmen of this world, the merchants of the earth, they become rich by the wealth of her sensuality because she's always built to make the outside look good while the inside's full of self-indulgence and dead men's bones. Now, verse 7. Now, when somebody is in the flesh, do they always glorify themselves and boast? Sure. Nickels, noses, numbers, name, reputation, career. All right, verse 7. To the degree that she what? She glorifies herself and lives after the flesh sensually. To the same degree, give her torment. Give her mourning, the lawbreakers. And the demons are turned loose on her. That's why it's a dwelling place of demons. For she's saying in her heart, Jesus is the king and I'm the queen. I'm not a widow. I can't be lost. I'll never see mourning. No torment can ever come on me. Jesus became a curse for me at Calvary. While they're walking under the curse. For this reason, in one day, now watch what comes against her. There's plagues. There's pestilence, which is disease. Mourning. There's a famine of the world. Mourning is people. Look at me. Let me tell you what this mourning is, folks. Mourning is pain. See, you start living these things. Stiffness, muscle spasm, all these kind of things that's happening to your body, just tore up, just headache, migraine, depression. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then you go to the world out there and go in their stores and they give you little, get little pills to get free from all that stuff. And you go to Jesus, you get God's pills to get free of it, right? All these allergies are demonic. It's attacked against your body. It's attacked against you, torment you, and cause mourning, destroy you. And there's a famine. See, she has a famine because she'll have no or ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of truth, so it's a famine of the word. Ever learning, always new things, but never able to come to knowledge of truth. And she will be what? She's going to be burned up with fire. Do you see? Who is that fire? That's the powers of darkness. For the Lord God who judges her is strong. I want to jump all the way over there to verse 23. And the light of the lamp. Now, you know what the light of the lamp, that's a word. Now, look at it. Is the word supposed to be a light, lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? See, if you haven't got the Spirit of God illumining that word, you can't. You can't see where you're going. That's why you're drunk, staggering and stumbling. In the last days, you warned not to drink with the drunkards, eat and drink with the drunkards. That's what he's talking about. The light of the lamp's not going to shine in her any longer. And the voice of who? Right, I wonder who that is. The voice of Jesus is not there. Do you hear me? The voice of Jesus is not there. The voice of the bridegroom's out there. And the voice of the bride will not be heard in you any longer. Because it says all the nations were deceived by your sorcery and enter the blood of the prophets and saints and all have been slain on the earth because this place, Babylon, is a curse to the earth because people think they're coming to the Lord when they come there and they come to be destroyed. Because the perverted teaching gives ground to the powers of darkness to destroy them. And then that's why the blood. That's why it's sorcery, and that's why the blood's upon them. Now, if you look back in verse 4, it warns you, Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people! Now, folks, you ever hear the Bible say, flee from immorality? You know what flee means? You better go as hard as you can because if you're headed where the Lord was, if you're going to be with the Lord, you better be planning on a pure heart. And 2 Peter 2 says, when you turn back to sin, it's like a pig after washing returned to the pig walla. It's like a dog returning to his vomit. Galatians 2 says, if you start rebuilding what you once destroyed, you are still a transgressor to God. So in other words, I don't think you can get cleaned up in a pig pen, can you? So I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, because if you do, you will receive of her plagues. And that's what's all over, people. And this is what the Lord's beginning to show us now. Amen? Now, I don't want you to turn now. I'm just going to tell you what this is. I'm going to wait for everybody to turn there. But you remember, we had looked earlier at Matthew 7 about the different fruit. And you remember that we read one verse there. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Is that correct? All right, now let me ask you something. Do you believe Babylon would bear good fruit or bad fruit? All right, she'd bear bad fruit, so she'd become a dwelling place of demons, right? They are the fire that cuts her down. They cut her down and she's thrown into the fire. You see what I'm saying? So it's still saying the same thing in Matthew 7 when it's talking about the fruit. Because I'm going to tell you that when you produce the fruit of the beast, when you produce the fruit of the flesh, when you produce the fruit of Satan, you're being destroyed. You're a lawbreaker, you're hostile to God, and you don't subject yourself to the law of God. Amen? Also, in John 15, It was said that we see in verse 6, if anyone does not continue in me, if anyone does not continue in Jesus, if you don't continue, I mean it says endure to the end. I mean there's something to overcome. Most people think warfare is going to church in the rain. Now verse 6, if anyone does not continue in me, he is thrown away as a branch and he dries up. Now how do you dry up? Now look at me, folks. If you don't continue in the Lord, if you don't continue receiving the word, if you get you some kind of security and you don't continue, what do you think is going to happen? If you got out of jail, you're going to start drying up. Why? If you don't have any word, you don't have any water, the branch dries, isn't that right? The branch dries up, and that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. So they dry up and they gather them, they cast them into the fire and they burn. What you're saying, and that's the same thing it's saying all over. Now the fruit, what we're talking about the fruit is, the fruit comes from the heart. And so the fruit is the evidence of who you belong to. And this is how we're to know one another by the fruit. Is that right? For with the heart you'll believe unto righteousness, or with the heart you'll believe unto unrighteousness. And I'll know by listening to your fruit where your heart is, and then whether you come to the light or not. And that's called discernment. That's where discernment comes from. Okay? Now, turn with me to Hebrews 10, please. Hebrews 10. All right, now in Hebrews 10, look with me in verse 16. This is the covenant I'm going to make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law upon their heart, and upon their mind I will write them. Now look at verse 22. Now let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. And we're going to have our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. And we're going to have our bodies washed with pure water. Glory be to God. Verse 26. Now, if you follow any doctrine, or you follow any idol, or anything, if you go on sinning willfully after the receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Now, what was the law up? The law was there in the old covenant, once again, that you was in covenant and they made sacrifices then. And when you broke the law, you went to these sacrifices and then you wasn't judged by the law. Is that right? Today, if you make a mistake, and when you sin, what do? You go to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? And then you go to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're repenting from your heart, you are cleansed, and then you're no longer judged by the law. Is that right? But if you sin willfully, you're not really repenting. So you're practicing sin. That's what practicing sin means. You're making an idol. So you're an illegitimate son because you don't receive reproof and discipline. Is that what your Bible says in Hebrews 12? You're illegitimate. You won't receive reproof and discipline because you're not led by the Spirit of God. Now, if you find yourself a security in Babylon, in a doctrine that doesn't conform you to godliness, you are sinning willfully. And that's why Babylon's under the law and under the curse and under the works of the law. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And because it's willful, there is no sacrifice when you counsel rebellion to God. Now, Jesus is a sacrifice. Now, see, look here. The law always stands right there to judge you. Now, does the law bring wrath? And the only way that you can keep the law from judging, and you can't even keep the law, is to be in Jesus Christ. Is that right? And if you're in Jesus Christ, you're led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And if you're led by the Spirit of God, He'll lead you to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Is that what we saw in Romans 8, 13? And we saw in 14 that that's who the sons of God are. They're led by the Spirit of God. We also in Galatians 5, 16, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're no longer under the law. Why? Because in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, because the fruit of the Spirit, now that means the fruit of the Spirit will come out of your mouth, which means your heart is believing in righteous love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Love is going to come out of your mouth and get such things there's no law. And that's how Jesus fulfills the law in the body of Christ. Amen? But if you sin willfully, you have found yourself something in your heart that you love more than the Lord. And you've even been told to hate your mother and father, family, and everything else. Why have you been? What does it mean to hate them? Love them less. Anything that you don't love less than the Lord, you've made an idol. And the wrath of God is right there against you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, did we see in Ephesians 5, that those that don't let anyone deceive you, 5 and 5:6, don't let anybody deceive you in empty words, but in these impurities in people's hearts, you shall not enter the kingdom of Christ. Did we see in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, that if you practice sin, you'll not enter in the kingdom of God? Amen? It's saying Colossians 3, if you practice these sins, immorality, impurity, any of these things right there, this is idolatry. And it's because of these things the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Because sons of disobedience are the ones that won't cleanse their heart and let be obedient to God, be led by the Spirit of God. Is this plain? Okay, now we go. Now that's Babylon. Now, verse 26. For if we go on sinning willfully, now that's practicing sin. Incidentally, just for the sake of it, I want you to sake it so we will. If anyone new here, so you'll know that I understand what grace is, I want to just say something else to you too. Because the church is not supposed to be under the law. And so, that if you're not under the law, you're led by the Spirit of God. And so it says in Romans 6:15, what shall we sin because we're not under the law? God forbid. No, shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? May it never be! And we also saw in Romans 6, 1 and 2, shall we practice sin or continue in sin that grace might increase? God forbid. May it never be. How shall we die to sin and rebellion still live in it? Amen? So what are you going to do with the Word of God? Found some isolated scripture here that will support doctrines of ungodliness to the exclusion of the rest of the Bible. And then you only have tunnel vision when you come to look in the Word. You're not looking through it the eyes of God. And that's the deception the Pharisees was in. They couldn't hear the Word of God. They couldn't, John 8, they couldn't hear Jesus. And they couldn't understand what Jesus is saying because what Jesus said wouldn't fit in the structure. It had their hearts. He said, you do the things that you hear from your father and I speak the things I hear from my father. Why is it you can't understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't hear the Word of God because the Word of God has no place in you because you've already arrived. You've taken part of the Word of God, built you a structure, and you already arrived. He went further to say he is of God, hears the Word of God. You can't hear it because you're not a God. And further on in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, the gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world is blinded the minds of the unbelieving. It's the heart have idols. And the only way you can see, hear, and understand is to come to the whole heart. Ezekiel 14 says that when you have an idol in your heart, it becomes a stumbling block right in front of your face, and that's the reason you can't see. So people go bowing the intellect and academics and things like that instead of hearing the voice of Jesus through people and let Jesus be their leader and let Jesus be their source. They are, that's how the blind lead the blind to the pit. Because they're always looking at the outside and not hearing Jesus and looking at the spiritual. Right? So, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for your sins. Now see, this is how you learn the fear of God, folks. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The fear of God is beginning with wisdom, isn't it? Because whoever you fear is who you want approval of. You understand that? When you fear God, you're not going to fear nothing else. It's not going to matter what folks are saying, doing, jumping, or any threatening or anything else. The only thing, hey, I just come to think of it, should it matter when God says something? How does other things get our heart besides God? Because we've been deceived by the powers of darkness. That's who we've been deceived by. I love everybody in Babylon. I despise their traditions and doctrines that deceive people and hurting people can be helped. You know, I see many times that people that are just right on the verge, they just found out, you know, the answer of being free and set free from some things, and then you're just right ready to, you know, go and made a meal, and they just happen to God to mention it to someone, and all he has to do is just mention there's a Jim Jones, or that's they go off the deep end, or they believe demons behind every bush, and the powers of darkness take those words he said, and they never get free and everything, and they just stay right there. Well, but there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins when you sin willfully. So what happens to you? But a certain terrifying expectation of judgment. Now, if you listen, this judgment, I'm going to tell you this judgment comes from the law. And it's a fury of fire. Please circle that fury of fire, which is going to consume the adversaries that come against God or rebel against God. Now, verse 28. Anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. A man went out on the Sabbath day and got a load of wood. God said, stone him to death. Wonder when God changed. Tell me. He broke a law. When did he change there? All right, now, verse 29. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve? Now, are we talking about a more severe punishment than that fellow being stoned to death with stones? How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who tramples underfoot the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And he's regarding unclean the blood of the covenant. In other words, he's saying, I can walk. I have peace though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. He's saying, that covenant does not cleanse you from all this rebellion and hate and murder that I have in my heart. I belong to Jesus. And I can practice it. Tremble underfoot the Son of God and regards as unclean the blood of the covenant and he by which he was sanctified or purified, and he insults the Spirit of grace. How much severe punishment do you think he's going to deserve? Verse 30. Now, I want you to remember this. For we know him who says... Now, what did the Lord say? Vengeance is mine. Now, don't forget that and don't let your minds wander off. I take authority over all distraction right now in the name of Jesus. You're sealed with the blood and you're removed. You're all distraction in Jesus' name, and confusion is bound right now in the name of Jesus. I want you to hear it because that's the important verse. If you don't know that the Lord has vengeance, if you don't understand what his judgment comes on those who practice sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is this what you're seeing? Now, he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Verse 31, it's a terrifying thing, God says. To fall in the hands of the living God. And I want you to know that's what Revelation is about. Revelation is about the judgment in the last days. Amen? Okay. I want you to turn with me, please, to Jeremiah 50. Now, let's remember one thing right here. Is this judgment and vengeance and this fury of fire coming on those who are willfully sinning? Amen? Okay. All right. Would someone be willfully sinning if they have a doctrine that do not conform you to godliness? Amen? Absolutely. And if that gets your heart, you're willfully sinning. So that's exactly what Babylon does, and that's how she produces harlots and adulteries, double-minded. Amen? Right? And that's a harlot. Now, in Jeremiah 50, let's look at this Babylon right there. In verse 2, declare, Jeremiah 50, verse 2, declare and proclaim among the nations. Proclaim it and lift up the standard, the word of God. Do not conceal it, but say, Babylon has been captured. Verse 6, my people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have made them turn aside on the mountains. They've gone along from the mountain to the hill. You remember in Ezekiel 34, woe you shepherds who feed yourself and don't feed the flock. And they have forgot their resting place. The resting place is when you go possess the land. Amen? All right, now we know that these people are willfully sinning right here. They're practicing sin. Verse 7. Now here's the powers of darkness. Here's the judgment. Here's the fury of fire that comes to burning. And all who come upon them have what? They have devoured them. And their adversaries have said, we are not guilty. Inasmuch as they have sinned against the Lord, or inasmuch as they're breaking the law, we're not guilty. We can judge sin and we have a right to devour them. Amen? That's the fury of fire. Now let's go to verse 9. For behold, I'm going to rouse and I'm going to bring up against Babylon. Now this is the powers of darkness, a horde of great nations from the land of the north. And they will draw up their battle lines against her. Is Jerusalem going to be surrounded in the last days? While everybody's looking for over in the flesh, Egypt, they're not going to see the armies around Jerusalem today in the spiritual. Amen? And they'll draw up their battle lines against her, and there she will be taken captive. She's a dwelling place of demons. Now their arrows will be like an expert warrior who does not return empty-handed. Now, we need to stop here just for a little bit. Mark you a place right there in Jeremiah 50. We're going to come back to it. And I want to move over to right between the Jeremiah and Ezekiel to Lamentation so you'll understand these arrows are the powers of darkness in other words, look here. Is your mouth shaped like a bow here? Is that right? Is there blessings and curses? They aren't. All right, when a word comes out of God's mouth, would it be like an arrow? Right. And so he shoots the arrow. He speaks. The hedge is removed. He got his law to say judgments on them. Are you understand what I mean? And they become, the powers of darkness become, when he speaks it, they become the instruments. Amen? Instruments of his indignation. Do you follow me? You speak arrows too. And I want you to know you speak life or death out of your mouth. You speak. There was a pastor here, and I want to tell you, pastor, something right now. In Proverbs it says, when you teach unrighteous people, you teach wicked people that they're righteous, they will curse you. And I want you to know that when you're dealing with wicked people and unrighteous people, that the powers of darkness to use them to attack you, to attack your family, all the time. Always threatening and intimidating. And when they do that, eventually, here's the powers of darkness are working into your children and working into you and working into your wife to have unforgiveness or to be critical, to judge or slander. And immediately when you do that, the words of the whole congregation that's cursed you, the words come of the powers of darkness can attack you. I'm sure you won't mind me saying this. There's a pastor here right now that come down here from Canada. Just a precious, precious, precious man. And we sat there last night, and a yoke and burden is on that man right there. See, pastors can never, on the average, they run off every 3 years, and the children watch their, no, I'm not saying that funny. I mean, it's not funny. And the little children, the powers of darkness talk to them, and they see their parents mistreated and see what they go to, so this starts building in, and the powers of darkness have each other, because the pastor's been brought up in an ungodly doctrine, serving flesh, and he can never find a green pastures with him. And he's there just being destroyed. And you're always hoping that, well, when my 3 year stretch is up, the next one, I might find peace. But he goes there, and the same old church boss and the same old devils are right there that they was the other place. They're always there because they're always gathered around the ungodly doctrinal rebellion doctrines. Let me just go ahead and finish one of that. It wasn't my power that got this man free. But I simply, God had showed me something, and I had him to repent. I asked him to repent of all the unforgiveness. I said, it hurt you throughout the congregation. He's an older man, precious man, just sweet as he could be. Here right now. I said, You've been hurt ever since you've been pastored. He just shook his head. And I said, eventually, they kind of built some things into your heart to where you spoke some words against some of the congregation. And he said, yes, that happened. It happened to all pastors, just about all I've ever talked to, because we hadn't known the difference. None of us. We haven't known the difference. We're learning something now. And so what I did, I said, Pastor, when this come out of your mouth, all those words that whole congregation was speaking against you has come on you and your family. I said, all we have to do right now is go to the sacrifice. Glory be to God forevermore. So we went to the sacrifice, and he didn't fall out. He didn't stay out for 40 minutes, which is all right. God can put you out 40 minutes sometime. If it's God that does it. If it's God that does it. Now, I'm not saying anything about the power of God. What I'm talking about is when the power of God's on someone, you start boasting in a man and his power. Jump! Amen? That's man's power. Jesus! But anyway, he repented. And I said, just lift up your hands right there. Lift them up. And I said, we just rebuke you right now. All these word curses. I had him give all the judgments and words he'd ever spoken. And he did. He lifted up his hands. And you can just see those things coming off of him right there. And he'd been weeping and crying and everything. And that precious, precious man. Precious, precious man sitting here right now. Right in here right now. Who just been serving. I'm going to tell you it's a new day, folks. I'm going to tell you it's a good, all of our conversation not going to be on nothing but Jesus. All this folks conversation's over. We ain't looking for the man to come to town no more. It's Jesus. When he always left, everything else left too. With his selection, if you give him anything. Now, Lamentations 1. Verse 3, Judah has gone in exile under affliction. Now, did we see about Judah when Israel a while ago? Shake your head. And under harsh servitude, she dwells among the nations. In other words, she's gone back into the world. She has found what? No rest. You don't have a rest when you're not possessing the land. All her pursuers have overtaken her in the midst of distress. Look at verse 5. Her adversaries, that's the powers of darkness, have become her masters. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has caused her grief. Why? Because of the multitudes of her transgressions. Her little ones have gone away as captives before the adversaries. Verse 8, Jerusalem sinned greatly. Therefore, she's become an unclean thing. All who honored her, they now despise her because they've seen her nakedness. Jesus said, and the Lord said he's going to lift up the skirts of the harlot whore today, and I'm going to tell you what, it's becoming a laughing and hissing everywhere you turn, worse every day. Amen? Even she herself groans and turns away. Verse 9, her uncleanness was found in her skirts. That's the harlotry. She did not consider her future. Therefore, she has what? Fallen astonishingly. That's from the way faith. That's the apostasy. That's a great falling away. She has no comforter. See, O Lord, my affliction. For the enemy has magnified himself. The adversary has stretched out his hand over all her precious things. For she has seen the nations enter her what? Where's the sanctuary, folks? I'm going to tell you, this building's not the sanctuary. Right here is the sanctuary. This is a meeting house. Your body is the sanctuary. Amen? The nations have entered their sanctuary, exalting themselves to be God. The ones whom thou did command that they should not enter into the congregation. Now all her people groan. That's your mourning. They're hurting. Sickness. Look at the you can tell by the expression of their faces. They're tormented, everybody in them. They're groaning. They're seeking bread. They're trying to find the answers. They've given their precious things for food. They're trying to restore their lives themselves. See, O Lord, the yoke of my transgression is bound. By His hand they're knit together. They have come upon my neck. Where's the yoke fit at, folks? Right on your neck. Now, folks, when you ever get set free and get the powers of darkness start coming off, you know where you're going to sit? I mean, your neck's going to pop for about a week for all the pressure and everything. I mean, just tremendous. All your nerve center right there. At the hell that they have you in, and the torment you walk in that you get used to and you think that that's the way you're supposed to live. Some yokes are coming off tonight. If you've got repentant hearts, of course it'll come back again if you just go back and eat off that television, that idle of years. And then just start eating that hate, anger, violence, murder, rape, lust. Just go ahead and watch it a little while and get your yoke back.
This concludes tape number one. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number two, where this message continues.